Okay, we still have. All right. Okay, I believe everybody's here now. So, hello, everybody, and welcome to this wonderful webinar series that Duane is resuming. So, everybody, Duane Carpenter.
Thank you, BL and Michael and Rose, for your support and your technical genius, because without all of you assisting, I would not be able to make this presentation and others that I have in the past. I'd also like to thank the Moya School and all of its different presenters and people who have come together to make these presentations possible. To sort of facilitate this presentation, I have a question I want to put out to the group that will help me considerably, and that is how many who are attending participated in my presentation this spring at the USR's annual conference. If we could have a show of hands, because the direction I take this presentation is determined a lot by if any of you have any background or if some of these subjects are totally new. So if we could just take a minute or two, if you were able to participate, raise your hand, and if not, and BL or Rose or somebody can count the difference, and it'll again be very helpful for me.
They're still coming up, but we have 12 hands up so far.
We have how many?
12 so far. 12. 13.
Okay, out of roughly 47.
Well, just to chime in, sometimes people can't find the raise hand. If you're not finding it on the toolbar, on the bottom, it looks like a little happy face with a plus sign. It says reactions. And if you click that reactions button, it says raise hand.
Okay, so we've had over 13 now.
Okay, that's good enough. We don't have to.
Okay, Yuriana, we're raising our hand if you attended the conference and saw some of Duane's presentation there.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to start lowering the hands then.
Thank you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to briefly skip over some of the material that I presented at the last conference, because it's introductory material that makes everything that follows relevant. In other words, as an example, we're going to present some pretty radical ideas, and the majority of them are actually from the Tibetan master. And when I share these quotes or when I paraphrase them, people often say, wow, I've been studying DK for years. I never read that. Where does he say that? So it's important right from the beginning of this presentation that these are not original ideas that we're presenting here. These are taken directly, for the most part, from Blavatsky and Bailey. And I, to the best of my ability, have tried to step them down and, as you will see, interface them with emerging advanced scientific theories that are very powerful and are worth noting. Okay, with that short introduction. Let us proceed. Now, what are some of the objectives we are attempting to achieve in this series of presentations? To see a larger esoteric perspective as we move towards 2025. That is one of the largest and most dominating questions that people ask me and others that I work with. And I cannot say with any honesty I have the answers, but I do feel I and others and many of you are moving in that direction in your own unique way. Cycles that come and go are not rigid. They overlap, interpenetrate, and in some cases, blend. And we have to keep in mind that the Tibetan has said, you will recognize this latest contribution that will be taking place around after 2000 and into 2025, because it will link and coincide with what has already been given. HPB outlined so many important things. DK via Alice. Bailey took that, so knowing what to look for is halfway towards the solution of finding the correct answer. Two, to understand the importance of electricity and magnetism in the occult and ageless wisdom teachings and their relationship and parallel to certain new scientific discoveries. It is not merely what we present that is important, but also, this is so important, how we present it. The Tibetan master has indicated numerous times in his many volumes of occult teachings that symbols are the language of initiates and that these symbols must be understood and mastered. We will be presenting a lot of information, but it is the symbols and particularly the animations that we share that summarize and often reveal the deeper side of the occult path. Without this preparatory information, these deeper truths we are attempting to share can easily be seen as just pretty pictures or videos. And in this idea of how we present it, I'm going to add this last comment. It is common knowledge revealed by studies in neuroscience that information is assimilated and comprehended 3 times as fast and retained 3 to 5 times longer with pictorial images rather than the spoken or written words. We will be using all 3 approaches for maximum effectiveness. This is probably my favorite quote, and it's one that every esotericist should have as a screensaver up on their wall, or if they have the capacity, memorize it. First of all, the books were published and they came out in ordered sequence and provide a body of teachings and of truth which will serve the needs of the coming generation. It is for my disciples to safeguard this presentation of truth during this century and to see to it that the books are sent forth steadily upon their mission, until they are finally superseded next century by a newer and more adequate teaching. What does the Tibetan mean or infer by superseded next century by a newer and more adequate teaching? Well, it may relate to many things, and this is something we will discuss in group work as we interface on a more personal level and get your opinion. More adequate teaching. Okay, now here's a few quotes I'm just going to skip through quickly. This is DK talking about the meeting in 2025 and how this new teaching will only be recognized by a very few people, foremost disciples in the world. So, is it possible people who are inquiring about these new teachings could have it presented to them and they just might not recognize it because it doesn't come in the form that they are familiar with? And then this is another key quote right here. The majority of the Tibetans' works were built on the thought forms of Buddhism and Christianity, although he's very synthetic and he draws his wisdom from all these different places. But when he says this, I have given you these teachings in the terms of the Christian presentation, as it may be simpler for you to grasp. But there are many other formulations and approaches to these truths, and the newer they are, the more difficult necessarily are they to present. Only those who are on the immediate verge of initiation will understand. The Tibetan talks about a new scientific language of the ageless wisdom teachings that is based on the idea that everything is connected, not as theory, but as irrefutable fact that can be clearly demonstrated even on the material plane through conventional science. Remember now that with the seventh ray pouring in and rising in it, ascendancy, that the hierarchy and the masters don't want just a lot of highfalutin information and technical minutiae to be floating out there, which is important in its building process, but they want it to come down and become grounded in the material world in the most solid way that you can imagine. And conventional science is very solid. Okay. DK is talking about we're on the verge of a new era in scientific unfoldment. And owing to the discovery of how to release the energy of the atom, not even the scientists responsible for the discovery have the faintest idea of the far-reaching effects of this momentous happening. From the angle of our subject and the theme of this volume, an entirely new language related to energy and force is already in the making. One of the difficulties in the study of the Antahkarana is that there are practically no words to define our meaning, and we have to create a new terminology. Just as modern science has evolved a completely new terminology of their own during the past 40 years, so this new occult science must develop its own peculiar vocabulary. In the meantime, we must do the best we can with the words at our disposal. Once again, this is a repeat. He's talking about just as these new developments in the automobile and the radio necessitated a new set of terms, phrases, nouns, verbs. So in the years that are coming, the discovery of the fact of the soul will necessitate a new language approach. And this can relate not only to new information, new techniques, new terminologies, but it can relate to how to approach these hidden entities that we designate the elemental, the deva, the angelic kingdoms. How are they to be understood? Keeping in mind that when the reappearance of the Christ is in full swing, he, she, it, whatever you conceive of that concept to be, will bring huge overlighting and overshadowing devas that will purify not just individual people who are aligned, not just groups, but the entire planetary field itself. Now, this actually relates to a future presentation, but it's important to get that thought form out early, because there's so many brilliant astrologers that are a part of this esoteric program and these different groups with which we work, and particularly the Moya University. Here's a quote from AAB: having briefly outlined the idea of a new and more advanced scientific language for the Ageless Wisdom teachings, let us now explore some of the concepts and ideas DK and AAB have stated about the science of electricity that was designated by DK as the greatest spiritual science and area of divine knowledge of the world. Quote. Actually, I'm paraphrasing him here. This is not a direct quote, but I do have the two quotes that he is referring to here. Oh, I'm sorry. It is in quotation marks. That was designated by DK as the greatest spiritual science and area of divine knowledge in the world. Reappearance of the Christ. Since he also says this about the teachings of esoteric astrology, I prefer to compare and categorize these two teachings as one being the newest and greatest teachings on the planet, the electrical, and the other, esoteric astrology, as the greatest but the oldest esoteric teachings on the planet. When these two sciences are combined, as we will attempt to demonstrate in these series of presentation, much new light and revelation can occur. This is another profound statement or quote by the Tibetan from Cosmic Fire. If this treatise serves no other purpose than to direct the attention of the more scientific and philosophical students to the study of force or energy in man and in groups, and to interpret man and the human family in terms of electrical phenomenon, much good will have been accomplished. The polarity of a man, of a group, and of a congeries of groups, the planet, the polarity of the planets and their relationship to each other, and of one principle to another, the polarity of the subtler vehicles, and the scientific application of the laws of electricity to the totality on the physical plane will bring about a revolution upon the planet second only to that effected at the time of individualization. Very, very powerful quotation. Some new modern-day sciences, particularly plasma physics, astronomy, and new cosmological theories, are confirming what esoteric astrology has been saying for centuries, and that is there are powerful influences that emanating from outside of our solar system that are radically affecting us, and that these powerful forces are carried on hidden waves of electrical and magnetic substance that in their lower form are called plasma, and in their higher, Fohat. The Tibetan master DK predicted that science would begin to slowly reveal several of the four higher subplanes of the physical etheric as we move into the 21st century. A new scientific language. Nassim Haramein, one of the new quantum physicists and cosmologists that DK predicted would make their arrival after the entry into this new century that we are now in, has presented and written extensively on creating a parallel between hidden quantum worlds and the ancient wisdom teachings from many different diverse traditions. Here is a short trailer titled The Connected Universe and narrated by Sir Patrick Stewart, giving a brief overview of his work that also outlines some areas of research we will also be exploring in this brief presentation. That's Nassim.
What if you were connected to everyone in the world? How would your life change? What if you could see the patterns?
Transformation I can see when a person realizes that they're connected to everything and that they matter in the universe. We experience this life, and most people don't ask, like, how did I get here? What is this life? How am I moving trillions of atoms around? We often hear the concept, everything is connected, it's all one. For many people, it resonates as something true. But how is that true? Some of the work I've been doing starts to open the door to understanding how everything is connected. Experience as reality is actually made up of 99.99999% space. So maybe instead of looking at matter, defining the space, I start to think maybe it's space that defines matter. When I look carefully at the natural world, I found this interconnectivity of all things. And I started to wonder, what is the source of this self-organizing system?
The Connected Universe. Now on Vimeo.
Nassim, in this previous video, has asked the key question, what is space? And states that it is space that should define matter rather than the other way around. HPB brought clarity to the importance of understanding space when she stated 150 years ago that space is an entity. And time is the duration that entity has chosen to work out some aspect of its plan or will. DK prophesies that when scientists become intuitives, like Nassim, we will have a revolution in how reality is interpreted and understood that will change every aspect of human living. Let us explore a statement made by the Tibetan that can help formulate this new perception of reality that is made up of myriads of electrical and magnetic forces. Space is not empty, but teeming with quantum energy and forces that create and sustain everything. In fact, there really is nothing material. The occult path is a forcing process in which students direct themselves into the periphery of those spiritual lives more advanced than themselves and of which they know practically nothing.
Wayne?
Yes.
You got a question from Jeronim. Anyway, he says, does Nassim also give the exact physics and the mathematics of what he says?
Yes, absolutely. He's got a PhD and he's so progressive. You just simply have to go in and Google it and it'll all come up. Yes. He's brilliant, and he studied all these ageless wisdom teachings as well, and he's put them together into something very progressive. To those students who are on the cutting edge of these etheric discoveries, because this is what it is, it's penetration into the four higher ethers that the Tibetan predicted would take place at the turn of the century. And I'm sort of skipping around a little bit here to speed up what were the basic intro. Here's the quote that actually was supposed to be two slides back. We shall see each other in all forms of divine manifestation as light units of varying degree of brightness, and she'll talk and think increasingly in terms of electricity, voltage, of intensity, and of power. The age and status of people in regard to the ladder of evolution will be noted and become objectively apparent. The relative capacity of old souls and young souls will be recognized, thereby reestablishing on Earth the rule of the enlightened. If any of you have studied philosophy, you know that that was one of Plato's keynotes, that we are never going to have a good world until we have the rule of the enlightened. Note here that these developments will be the work of the scientists of the next two generations and the result of their efforts. This will break down all barriers of race and all distinctions of color. The essential brotherhood of man will be established. So it's not just the thousands of years of mysticism that we have had primarily through the sixth ray that is going to save the day. It's going to be an overlay of the seventh ray to ground that mysticism, make it intelligent, and make it user-friendly for the contemporary world in which we live in. Here's another dynamite quote. The Christ will also revive these mysteries in other ways. Not all will seek the church or masonry for the revitalization of their spiritual life. The true mysteries will also reveal themselves through science, and the incentive to search for them there will be given by the Christ. Often, and I apologize for cutting in on this quote, often people think of what Christ is going to be presenting is going to be purely, or primarily, I should say, along the second ray, or the other rays will be peripheral, because obviously he works with all of the rays to different degrees, but it's going to be grounded in science. The mysteries contain within their formulas and teachings the key to the science which will unlock the mystery of electricity, the greatest spiritual science and area of divine knowledge in the world, the fringes of which have only just been touched. Only when the hierarchy is present visibly on earth and the mysteries of which the disciples of the Christ are the custodians are given openly to the world will the true secret in nature of electrical phenomena be revealed. You, all of this composite group thought form that we are making here together, is a part of this. Okay, DK says we are on the verge of entering a new era in science unfoldment owing to the discovery of how to relate the energy, to release the energy of the atom. Now, this is a prediction by DK, very important because it makes sense of everything that follows. The releasing of the energy of the atom. This will completely change the economic and political situation in the world, for the latter is largely dependent upon the former. Our mechanical civilization will be simplified and an era ushered in which will be free from the incubus of money, its possession and its non-possession, and the human family will recognize universally its status as a bridging kingdom between the three lower kingdoms of nature and the fifth or spiritual kingdom. There will be time and freedom for a soul culture which will supersede our modern methods of education and the significance of soul powers and the development of the superhuman consciousness will engross the attention of educators and students everywhere. The release of the energy of the atom. Now, that obviously took place back in the 40s, and we know what the initial result was used during the Second World War, and we all know the horrors of nuclear meltdowns and spilling into the ecosystem all these toxins. So that relates towards this next statement by me. What is commonly referred to as atomic fission by AAP is where atoms are split to create additional energy or force. For this fission to occur, electrons, which make up the outer shell of the atom, must be first ruptured or pushed out of their stable orbits. In atomic fission that AAB has outlined, little was understood at the time around how dangerously toxic the splitting of the atom was or could become. What AAB stated about the atom was entirely accurate and outlined how man must also go radiatory and release great amounts of spiritual energy. This statement, however, by her, was also a metaphor and should not be taken rigidly or taken too literally in its details. Atomic fusion may have been an essential part of what AAB was referring to, but the understanding of this dynamic process did not exist technically at that time and will require additional years to become a more viable and full alternative to atomic fission. So what I'm attempting to do here, perhaps inadequately, is to compare atomic fusion with atomic fission, and that AAB was entirely correct in her predictions, but she didn't have the, well, I don't know fully the history of these unfoldments, but it wasn't until after, sometime later, that people have really begun to focus on the fusion aspect, cold fusion. And this we're going to discuss a little. Okay, now this is an example.
Wayne?
Yes.
Sorry, we got a couple of comments.
Okay.
Ariane says nuclear radiation is the most dangerous pollution of all, threatening the entire living solar system with its planets inhabited on the etheric level. There are 70 undine planets. I think she means unseen planets.
Well, this is entirely correct, and it supports what I'm attempting to reveal. But we always have to keep in mind the difference between fission and fusion, because one is very deadly and it has brought a tremendous amount of grief into the world. And it does have some positive sides to it as far as energy, but it's fusion that is going to change and going to bring what DK prophesized. Remember, even the masters don't know all the technicalities. And DK does say in several of his books that Alice Bailey was, and I'm putting this into my own words, off the charts as somebody to take dictation and to step down and put it to English language, all these obscure things. But she did not have a technical background in science, nor in art.
Ariana also says, in the future, water will be the isotope that will be split.
Yes.
Merely steam.
Absolutely. There are a number of alternative forms of energy that are emerging, and we are only addressing the fission-fusion dynamic. Now, this is an article extracted from an article published in 2023, where the practical application of confining plasma, which is made up of atoms, into a small area that can be used for unlimited and inexpensive source of energy. China claims artificial sun. This is what they talk, this is what they when they refer to plasma, they confine it in an electrical box, they call it an artificial sun or a star in a jar. Those are like sort of like key phrases, has broken the world record for confined plasma. It's getting the experimental advanced superconducting tokamak east, sometimes called China's artificial sun, has broken the world's record for the longest confined plasma reaction, according to reports. The researchers claim to have maintained an ultra-hot plasma for 403 seconds, breaking their previous record of 101 seconds in 2017, and hope the milestone is another step towards the ultimate goal of efficient nuclear fusion. So here's another angle or aspect of using fusion. Again, fusion and fission different. Okay, so let's proceed.
We've had a whole bunch of comments.
Okay.
In relation to the fusion and the fission, Suzanne says how very symbolic of the entire premise. Fission to separate and fusion to unite.
That's a beautiful analogy, and it conveys a lot of insight. Excellent.
And then Joe says, as a campus minister at a new innovative college from 78 to 82, I saw the students were more interested in what Einstein had done instead than they were in the language of traditional churches.
That's another awesome insight, because if you flip back to the quote I gave where the Tibetans said that the Masonic in the churches are not sufficient, that there's another type of student, disciple, humanity that will gravitate towards the more practical sciences. And this is, however inadequately, what we're trying to inspire this group to look into. Because I can tell you, with all honesty, I have a very limited background in science, and I'm learning a lot of this myself. And if I have any talent, it may be in the ability to step down certain abstract concepts that Blavatsky and Bailey have outlined and make them more user-friendly. Okay, examining the atom. Okay, any more questions? No problem.
Yes. We have one more comment from Geronim. And I'm sorry if I'm saying you guys' names wrong. And this is actually a quote from a treatise on white magic. It's, up to the present time, the majority of aspirants in the world express the results of little and weak thought, but rapid action. The goal for students should at this time be rapid, concentrated thought and slow action. That slow action, however, will be potent in result. There will be no lost motion, no delayed reactions, and no tendency toward hesitation. The attention of the thinker being focused on the mental plane, the progress of his manifested thought will be sure and inevitable. When the idea is clearly grasped, the attention closely focused, and the energy or life aspect steadily applied, the result will be irresistible appearance and potent action on the physical plane.
Beautiful. That is so poetic, and yet so scientific, so articulate, so demanding of the reader to know how to create powerful thought forms, to build them, to send them out of the auric field, how to deal with negative energy and all the other myriad of things that white magic brings in. But that is an excellent quote. Thank you. And it slips in perfectly to where we are. Okay, examining the atom in greater detail in the next image, we can see that the electron cloud model is currently the most sophisticated and widely accepted model of the atom. The movement of electrons around the nucleus in this model is defined by regions where there is a greater probability of finding the electrons at any given moment. These regions of probability around the nucleus are associated with specific energy levels and take on a variety of odd shapes as the energy of the electrons increase. I should have perhaps shown this first and then read that quote. I apologize for that oversight. Now, this is not actually the most current. This is accepted as the mainstream. And even though it's not entirely accurate, and there are more advanced interpretations of the atom and the electron clouds around it, we're going to start here, and it'll give us a place to move forward to something bigger and bolder a little later. Okay, so imagine, if you can see my, I'm going to try something totally new here. I'm going to try a laser pointer. Oh, look, I did it. Rose will be proud of me. Okay, these bands are actually made up of electrons, which are a part of the atom, and they can be manipulated depending on a number of factors. And this is taken in an electron microscope, and you can see how there are these tiers, these concentric parallel lines. Even though they're circular, they're still parallel. And they are the waves. And when we get to this image, we see what is called catching light in action. For the first time, physicists have measured changes in an atom to the level of zeptoseconds or trillionths of a billionth of a second, the smallest division of time yet observed. Okay, here it is. This is also taken under some type of sophisticated electron microscope. What you see there, and we're going to be discussing the geometry of an atom or its rotating energy fields, and they're parallel to the human auric field. So this is why I'm bringing this introduction in. But there is an electron fleeing out of the atom. Now, the question is, why is the electron fleeing the atom? And I posit that there are two primary reasons: that the makeup of the atom has become too rarefied or pure or high energy. And this is a atom that couldn't sustain that level of activity, and therefore the composite atom is ejecting it. Or we could look at it as this tiny atom or life form is sending out of its orb a saving electron that will stimulate other electrons into higher potency. And this right here helps pull together some of these different statements that I'm making that I understand can be a little disjointed. And this is where the visual is so important. Okay, see where it says inner shell, second shell, and on down to the fifth? These are what are called electron clouds. They're actually not exactly things as we understand it. They're these wraparound concave energy patterns that when atoms in the inner number two shell, when they are sufficiently stimulated by some outside source, they go radiatory. And what do? They jump to the next energy band. When that one is sufficiently stimulated with new and even higher energy, it exits this band and jumps in to the next band. And this is a parallel to what happens in the human auric field. We'll come back to these two later.
Okay.
Hold it. Let's stop right here. Good. Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, a whole bunch. Well, comments. Michael Stacy says, can you talk about Babbitt's atom?
We are going to move right into that.
And
he will not be disappointed, because that is actually one of the main purposes of this presentation, is to get to the occult atoms. I'm just trying to define what the scientific atoms are, compare it to the human atoms in their different vehicles and sheaths, and then jump right in. So thank you, Michael. You're very intuitive as usual, right on point. Okay, jumping then, of electrons. Go ahead.
We have any a whole questions? Bunch more.
Yeah.
We have a whole bunch more. Okay, James says, without the maturation of humanity, the massive influx of love, all technologies will continue to be used to keep those in power in their entrenched positions. They must want to share resources and give up the power of money. Otherwise, why would they embrace esotericism? How is this massive information going to happen? It's hard for me to imagine.
It's going to happen. And I apologize if this appears a little bit pretentious, but it may not be. It depends on what we do. It depends upon what groups like us that maybe come from different traditions, different metaphysical backgrounds, because we are part of the new group of world servers, and we exert, key phrase here, occult pressure on all of the thinking substance that interpenetrates and surrounds the entire planet. And even if this is only at 0.5%, it's building, it's becoming more powerful, and we contribute. We are important. And I agree with what this gentleman just pointed out, that yes, the majority of new and innovative inventions are unfortunately used for personal aggrandizement, money, power, and the whole litany of things that everybody is very much aware of. However, in time, the hierarchy, working through its representatives, of which we are included, we turn those to good. Look at the computer. It was originally used to decipher what the enemy, the Axis, were doing, and it helped win the war for the forces of light. And then after the war, it became a technological, artificial type of intelligence that can be used for useful, creative things. Look what we are doing right here today. Is not this enriching all of our lives in some small way? And how we use it in our other groups, in the other groups with which you work. Any additional statements?
Yeah, we have a bunch. And before I get to the others, I want to, Michael Stacy quoting Jimi Hendrix, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, we will have peace.
Excellent. It is all about love, but it's intelligent love, and it's intelligent love under the guidance of the divine will. And if this is off topic, but it's important to inject here, if you want to understand, at least by the Tibetans' interpretation, what Agni Yoga is, it's the ability to work with the three primary head centers that express ray 1, ray 2, and ray 3. And in another presentation, we'll go over that. And it doesn't mean you have to be a scholar. It doesn't mean you have to be a saint. It doesn't mean you have to be Attila the Hun. It means that if you can incorporate enough of those type of atoms, those higher type of atoms in your physical etheric bodies, we will have this revolution DK is talking about. Because they're out there, they're all around us. And I have to quote Jung and Rumi and other luminaries who have said, don't say, where is God? Don't. They say, God is everywhere, in our breath, in our hearts, in our words. But try to find out what we have, what clouds we have personally put in front of this luminous orb of inner sun. It's always there. Okay. Any additional statements?
Yep. Greg says it's very interesting to recognize that to get to the moon, the primary method of locomotion from the Earth to the moon is based primarily on slingshot focus, which is more of an attempt at pushing a lower mass body toward a heavier mass body, to slingshot the vehicle to another heavy mass body, like the moon. This is a primary engineering way for locomoting between large mass bodies.
Excellent. Thank you. That's an important statement. And when you get into cosmic fire, you realize there are sections that are where DK exclusively deals with three types of motion. Rotary, third ray, cyclic spiral, second ray, and progressive, first ray. And the spin of an object, and this may be slightly off the theme of what this person just shared, but this is what Nassim Harriman did. He got his PhD in Corollas, which is what creates spin? Where does it come from? And when we understand there is external spin, like gravity and all these different energies, and there's inner spin, and you learn the techniques to any object that wants to increase its sensitivity has to increase its speed. And when it increases, you can take a rock. If you rotate it fast enough and at high enough velocity, it'll turn into a burning ember. And that is, occultly speaking, a very simple metaphor of what we have to do with the atomic substance in our lower vehicles. They're dancing around, they're spinning at a certain speed. The moment you make soul contact, or even have an advanced thought, to quote Emerson, that can totally change your life, it will speed up and you will begin to undergo the initiatory experience. It's a part of initiation that has not been well represented in the ageless wisdom groups that I've been a part of. And that is motion, the velocity of love. Now, people will say, oh, maybe they think I'm overly materializing the idea of love, which is certainly beyond any velocity of anything we understand. But we have to remember that light in all of its various aspects is what DK calls substance. It's lighted substance as opposed to material substance. It has some type of material identity, but it's so advanced, it's so ethereal, we creatures of form have a tendency to say it's formless, it's formless. The Buddhic plane, the Atmic plane, all these higher levels, they are not formless. They make up the cosmic astral plane, or the cosmic physical, I should say. So what are we to say about the etherealness of all these other cosmic planes? Anyway, reinterpreting language. Okay, any other additional comments?
Yes. Asha says, electron fleeing Can it be transmutation or divine alchemy?
Yes, that's exactly it. And this is what all white magicians and alchemists of the last 10,000 years have dealt with, to how to find symbolically to transmutate lead into gold. We're the lead. Our bodies are the lead, if you want to look at it from Saturn's point of view. And when we, in our lower atoms that are slow moving and lethargic, are pierced by the saving force of other disciples, other initiates, the master, the soul on its own plane, they speed up in their vibrational frequency, and they thereby become freed from the prison of the planet. And this happens at the first initiation around desire, second initiation, the astral body, the third initiation, the lower mind. The mind is not the slayer of the real. Michael and I used to have a lot of fun with that concept. The uncoordinated, the undisciplined mind is the slayer of the real. Probably one of the single most important tools you have to penetrate these higher levels is the mind. And even the lower mind plays its important part. Okay, any additional comments?
Yep, a bunch. Okay, Joe asks, escaping electrons result in a purer atom?
I'm not sure of that last word. Escaping atoms result in a purer?
Escaping electrons result yes. in a pure atom. Do they result in a pure atom?
It depends if they're being thrown off, because they're heavy and they're being rejected in from their little tiny composite group, or they're leaving because they are a saving force. In other words, the soul leaves its domain, or I should say it extends some part of its domain down into these lower levels, congregates the elemental substance, the lower Devic substance for the three lower vehicles. And then when that's established, later when the student is ready, they become overshadowed. When their personality is integrated, they become overshadowed by the full impact of the soul. And then those three elemental groups are liberated and they move up to become divine jivas, so that the soul that started this whole process can now leave its position and to go up into the upper triad or the one monadic life. In other words, it's a regulated ecosystem. And imagine school. Imagine that if you're in the fourth grade, you cannot go into the fifth grade until you orientate people in the third grade of what's going to take place in the fourth grade. Or you can't go into the fifth grade until people in the fourth grade have got their act together. This grand spiritual energy ecosystem that is interconnected and requires the law of sacrifice to take place. Some overlighting superior energy that looks down on the struggle of poor orphaned humanity, to quote HPB, and enter into their dark domain to liberate.
Okay, and then Risa says, it's illuminating when you're off subject. Then we really learn, understand, and integrate the teachings.
Well, thank you. And this is a little prophetic, because the coordinators here, Rose and BL and Mike and myself, we talked about this and we said that this would be an important contribution. And I appreciate these comments, these questions. Okay, so let's jump back onto the jumping electrons, and we'll have room for additional statements and sharing.
Okay, because we did have a couple of more here.
Okay, let's just do these two and then continue, because the best is yet to come, the animations. And I don't want Michael to leave. He's got to see the permanent Adam. Okay. Any questions? Comments?
Okay. Ariane says UFOs employ magnetism.
I am going to share a bit of my personal history. I have presented to the conferences, the USAC conferences, for in the early years, what is called the Lightweaver machine. It is a large rotating disc that has all these occult symbols on them. And when you view it, it brings out the symbolic language of the Deva evolution in motion. Very powerful. People have really appreciated it, and I've used it successfully. One day I was down at the Boston Public Library, and I was doing some research because I wanted to get a patent on this. And I came across two Japanese gentlemen who had a patent on something similar to mine. I subsequently got two patents on this. And they demonstrated that if you take a balance beam and you put two ball bearings in of exactly the same weight, and you put them in a vacuum, but one of those ball bearings you spin, that when that ball bearing is spinning at a high enough speed, it actually becomes reduced in weight. And I found that fascinating, that if you rotate something fast enough, it'll change its weight. And as Einstein pointed out, it will change time and space. And I don't pretend to understand the brilliant mind that that man had. Okay, one more question, and then we're going to continue.
Okay. Ariane says, we can approach our soul at this very instant by keeping our attention focused on the sixth chakra, the Ajna center.
Yes, the white magician works through many centers, even the lower ones, but they're so purified, they don't create an impediment or any type of energy that would hold them back. It's the Ajna center. And this type of group work does develop the throat center, but its main objective is the Ajna center. So that is a very astute observation. Okay, we're going to move forward now.
We're going to move forward, but I just want to say one more thing. I'm sorry, I overlooked Francis's contribution. He says, as love increases with humanity, time speeds up.
Are you referring to Francis Donald?
No, Wilkinson.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Fran. Excellent. Yes, I agree with that statement. Totally. Thank you. Okay. So let's see. What AAB is referring to in her many previous comments about atomic energy is the necessity for the disciple to destroy the outer confining walls of any of their lower personality sheaths or auric vehicles and to let in more spiritual and higher grades of spiritual atoms. Okay. Now, I don't know who did this original. I just temporarily borrowed it and added a few parts to it. But the atom that we showed earlier is duplicated. And there's a direct parallel between the auric sheaths, that these concentric sheaths are actually made up of atoms, and the atoms have electrons. And they're not seen here, but they're there. And when the upper triad or the soul is able to penetrate the lower thought forms and the astral miasmas that all people, all humanity create, what it does is it comes in and it rearranges all the atoms. And that is what initiation is, visually in a simplified form. Yes, I can go into the Ray's initiations, and we can take off on the six stages of building the Antakrana in its higher and lowest aspect. But this is what happens. You build the Antakrana bridge from the highest centers, the throat, the ajna, the alta major, and up into the triad. In other words, the personality is just a reflection of the soul, and the soul is a reflection of the monad. And each one steps down their light to accommodate or to redeem the what we call the person that we were born into this world. All these other things were going on. And now that we know about this, it's our responsibility to pull these energies down fully and see this man or woman become divine, destroy the causal body, become absorbed back up. And with, this is a key statement by the Tibetan, the soul with the additional light that this personality has accrued over hundreds, maybe thousands of lifetimes. I find that a very, very powerful statement, that we, even in our physical presence, are contributing to a part of the divine plan. There's no bad genes. There's no parts that are not useful and creative if we understand how to use them. Okay, now we're going to jump into what is called spinors. Spinors, well, we'll just read it here. Electrons are found in plasma and exhibit a certain quality of motion that are designated as a spinner. A spinner is the motion of an electron when explored at its very tiniest level. Electrons not only orbit around the proton, but they gyrate and spin in a most mysterious manner. This next animated clip demonstrates how these spinors, which are composed of invisible strands of electrical and magnetic life, connect all aspects of the universe into one integrated whole. These gyrating and elusive threads demonstrate Fohat, or cosmic electricity, in its simplest and most primal form.
Quantum mechanics has lots of weird stuff, but there's one thing that everyone agrees that no one understands. I'm talking about quantum spin. Let's find out how chasing this elusive little behavior of the electron led us to some of the deepest insights into the nature of the quantum world. Spinners are exceptionally weird and cool, and really deserve their own episode. But let me say a couple of things to give you a taste. They describe particles that have very strange rotation properties. For familiar objects, a rotation of 360 degrees gets it back to its starting point. That's also true of vectors, which are just arrows pointing in some space. But for a spinner, you need to rotate it twice, or 720 degrees, to get it back to its starting state. Here's an example of spinner-like behavior. If I rotate this mug without letting go, my arm gets in a twist, but a second rotation untwists me. We can also visualize this with a cube attached to nearby walls by ribbons. If we rotate the cube by 360 degrees, the cube itself is back to the starting point, but the ribbons have a twist compared to how they started. Amazingly, if we rotate another 360, not backwards, but in the same direction, we get the whole system back to the original state. Another thing to notice is that the cube can rotate any number of times with any number of ribbons attached, and it never gets tangled. So, think of electrons as being connected to all other points in the universe by invisible strands. One rotation causes a twist, two brings it back to normal.
What links all suns, planets, galaxies, and diverse star systems together into one unified field that resides physically millions of light years apart? Plasma. Plasma is often referred to as the fourth state of matter. like so many magnetic bridges, these complex webs of electrical filaments bind all heavenly bodies into one common body, proving in practical and on scientific levels the theory of holism. The theory of holism, we know, states we are all connected by hidden forces that are electrical in nature and penetrate not just the physical, but the etheric, the emotional, the mental, and spiritual realms. Now we're going to go into the exploration of plasma. We've touched on it a number of times, but now we're going to get very intimate with plasma. And remember that plasma can be contained in a magnetic chamber. And in alchemy or white magic, that is a very important concept, because you can mix up your elixirs and your condiments and your herbs and your whatever in a little beaker and stir it around. And yes, there may be some potent energy that comes out of that, but think of a container that holds energy that's just magnetic. Okay, the next short video will demonstrate visually the nature of plasma and why its exploration has modern-day applications, as well as an occult side to its recognition. The atoms we earlier outlined are made up of electrical and magnetic forces that make up an intimate part of plasma. Although electricity or plasma cannot be seen, when passed through certain mediums, such as air, or certain inert gases in an electrical vacuum, as the next video demonstrate, cause them to give off great amounts of energy, lighting up and glowing. This is the CERN reactor.
The most well-recognized building at CERN is certainly the globe of science and innovation. Considered CERN's headquarters, this incredible building is 40 meters in diameter and 27 meters high. In addition to the dome shape, this structure also has a hole in the top, which is covered by glass. When specially constructed, magnetic models of the CERN dome were placed in a vacuum chamber and high voltage electricity was applied. Some amazing plasma formations developed. Between the two CERN dome-shaped magnetic field emitters, you will notice a sun-like sphere of plasma with an outer shell surrounding it. Then you will notice a disk of plasma around the equator of this sphere, as well as axial jets being emitted from the nucleus of the reaction. In addition, this plasma structure spins at high speeds, and solar flare-like emissions are also seen coming from the core of the reaction. Experimental parameters such as spacing and orientation of the emitters were varied to see what effects these changes had on the plasma formations that developed. In addition, several different purging gases were used to see what effect this would have on the plasma. The gases tried thus far include ordinary air, argon, hydrogen, and helium. After several days of experimentation, the magnetic models of the CERN dome were removed from the vacuum chamber and photographed. Here you can see some of the very colorful glass deposits that were formed during these plasma experiments. A large number of experiments were conducted not only with these magnetic bowls, but also with magnetic bowls of other geometries. The results of these experiments have some very exciting implications for physics, heliophysics, and astrophysics. To see more videos of these high-voltage plasma experiments, just click on the link below. If the link is not active on your device, the videos can be found on the YouTube channel listed in the link.
looking at a cross-section of plasma when not in motion in the next image, we can see its spherical shell-like composition. The concentric rings or shells that make up this plasma image are actually vortices. Vortices that exhibit opposite electrical charges and are rotating in opposite directions. The tension of opposites, occultly understood, is a process that lies behind all growth and spiritual development. The dynamic of opposites, electrically understood or charged, is a part of all advanced work with spiritual triangles, as we will demonstrate, and clearly parallels the development of our own spiritual centers, auric sheaths, or inner bodies. Its brilliant violet hue seen in this next image indicates the crossover point to the recognition of higher subplanes of the physical etheric realms, where elemental and devic life can now be recognized or contacted, but only when the right interior focus is developed through meditation. The lower levels of the devas of the shadow are contacted by the study of different hues of violet colored light. And here's the cross section. Interesting in this plasma sphere, if you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's 7 bands. And I've often wondered if that isn't on some very minor level a duplication of the sevens, of the law of supplementary 7 that sort of is in everything in the universe, large or small, inner or outer. And then you have the arrows demonstrating how these rings, which are of different intensities, they hold their integrity and position out of tension. In other words, why don't all of these different bisections all collectively come together? When you look at plasma, it looks like it's just one discharge. But when you analyze it in greater detail, you see it's made up of the same dynamic of an atom or our auric fields, with in the center always the positive pole. And once again, you can see it demonstrated here. Okay, let's just, okay, now we're moving into the permanent atoms. I hope, Michael, you are still with us. And
we have a couple of comments. Do you want to okay. hear them, or you want to just yeah. pass on? Okay.
No, no.
All right. Greg says, as you said, Duane, when we increase the speed of a moving vehicle and everything it contains faster and faster until we are tapping into high factors of potential light speed, say 0.99 times the speed of light or 0.9996 factor times the speed of light, mass must decrease until the relationship to our current physical presence as our Earth spins and then moves around the sun at such high speeds, mass decrease exponentially, and with that, so too will time, space also be affected. We become essentially without mass at extreme states closer to the speed of light.
Excellent. Thank
you.
And
then Joe says, let your intuition work with the fact that the very holy world site, Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, has a hole at the end of it.
Yes.
So I think that refers
most
to
most sacred
image.
Geometry can be found in churches, synagogues, and different places like that. They were constructed by those of initiate consciousness. And when you go in them, you can feel the energy, and it's energy that comes from outside the congregation, and it's also the congregation itself. When two or more come in my name, I will be there. Okay, any questions?
One more comment. Well, one more. They're typing quicker than I can read. Rose says maybe we should leave Babbitt's Atom as a cliffhanger for next time, as you only have 5 minutes left in our advertised time. And then Risa says the whirling dervishes spinning, reflecting these mysteries.
Yes, the Sufis. Awesome. I normally take Rose, my better half's advice, but since I've already promised Mike, I'm going to bore through and go through this section on the divine Adam, because it comes right after all. I've just provided all this information on the normal idea of the Adam, and now we're focusing on the spiritual Adam. So let me just jump forward here. This is what is called the ultimate Adam, the divine Anu, or Babbitt's ultimate Adam. It preceded the Bailey material, and I think she may have used it with recognition. And we're not going to analyze what it is and how it operates, other than say that higher energy coming from Fohat, or the will of the Father, is demonstrated by this plunging from the very top down. And that would be like the Father aspect, Ray One. And as it plunges down, it creates in these lower levels energy bands. And it creates an entity different than the original thrust of the principle of directed purpose. And then when it reaches the very end at the bottom, where it says positive end torrent, what happens is that's like the third aspect of divinity. What happens is it folds back upon itself. And so this we're going to see in motion, and that will help us understand how a simple ultimate Adam that Babbitt presents to us is duplicated in every other vehicle. In other words, if you look at this, imagine there's six other sheaths or atoms, and each atom, looking from above down, ensouls, guides, stimulates the one beneath it. Okay. This is what DK says the astral permanent Adam looks like. It looks sort of like a heart with a depression. This figure eight in the background, this is what DK says the Buddhic permanent Adam looks like. Remembering now, these are not things, they are energy patterns. Okay, now when we watch this next animation, we're going to see the physical permanent Adam in motion. And as it progresses, we will begin to see the faint outline of the astral and Buddhic permanent atoms that we've just shared. So, Michael, I hope you're still with us. Thank you. that one video alone summarizes everything I've shared with the group, but it's in such an abstract form, it's useful to get some background. Now, we're a little over our time, and I thought we could end where we are here and with another short video. But we'll answer any questions first, or anybody wants to share anything. And what you're seeing here is a picture of plasma. It's some kind of infraspectrography. I've forgotten the technical name. It's sort of infrared, where they can see the flow of electrical and magnetic energy that we can't see physically. But these little dots, these little lighted dots, are suns. And where there's a cluster of them, there's even greater light. And to go back to the spinner, what that man said was very profound. He said that these spinners, which he made an analogy connected to the wall just for demonstration purposes, actually go out and connect everything in the entire universe together. So if that's not the theory of holism and brotherhood and unity on a certain level, I don't know what is. Okay, any additional shares before we close with our little meditation?
Yes, Michael Stacy shared the PDF book from Babbitt. So if
Excellent.
Anybody
Thank
wanted
you.
To get that, to download it, please. Rose says, when watching this rotate, I see the same spinners that were mentioned in the previous video.
Yes.
And everybody loves it. Suzanne says she witnessed the cosmic dance of the Mother Matter. Heike says it moved her to tears. James, this plasma picture looks exactly like artist's conception of the universe, seen from a vast distance away, and how the galaxies form these patterns.
Or the brain, yes. Okay, well,
thank you in a number of languages.
Let's see, for our closing, let's see if I can find, here it is right here. Okay, so I want you to use this as a meditation, and it's the electric magnetic man or woman, and you are it. This is you, as seen by a senior disciple or potentially a master in some small way. This is how they assess where you are and what level you're operating on.
Yona, Shodaya Om Bhuvasva.
Excellent. If there are not any additional comments or questions, we shall close. Let me just say this, that it's your participation that really makes this presentation and participation magnetic and radiatory. Because when a lot of people focus simultaneously on a particular thought or strong emotion or something in the heart, it affects all of us. We're all connected by these threads, and no man or no woman is an island. And I appreciate you taking time from your busy schedules to be a part of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Duane. I just and thank you, Michael, for putting in the link where the recording will go, and also the plug for Secret Teaching of All Ages, which is tomorrow. And I wanted everybody to know that I will send Duane the comments so he sees everything in case I missed one of yours. So
thank you,
everybody, and we hope to see you again next month. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Bye. Yeah, I'd like to say that this was a example of a group initiation process with the organic connection between the audience and you, Duane, and everything you shared.
Yes, and thank you, Mike and BL, for your guidance. I appreciate it.
We just love being fly on the wall in your presentations.
There are no small flies in this game.
Goodbye, everybody.
Love you all.